This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us at a Target Demo Friday, everybody. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, on where you're listening, how you're listening, and what you're doing. I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. Also coming up, my tasty top five, the top five best college football games, my most interested college football games, and where to watch, how to watch, coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Also later on in this hour, Mraz has his up the gut picks, his NFL picks, which still above 500, trying to keep the lead on Super Dave, as to avoid taking an SAT exam in studio, although proctored potentially by Chicken Pesto Lady. All of that coming up this hour. Next hour, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, 1 hour from now. Last night, Myles Garrett swings the helmet of Mason Rudolph at Mason Rudolph's exposed head, makes contact. Luckily, Mason Rudolph is not injured on the play. Although Rudolph, just a couple of weeks ago, suffered one of the more scary concussions that we've seen in a while, where they had to cut off his face mask. And remember, that was where they did not have a cart that was working at the stadium, and he walked off with the trainer, and he was clearly in a different world, and he was out for a couple of games. So the NFL, in many ways, as ugly as that was, got off easy. Because that could have been so much worse. If Garrett strikes Rudolph in the side of the head, in the temple, splits open his head, let's even say that he connects, big gash opens up, and blood starts pouring down Rudolph's face. Imagine that visual. Imagine that visual. So the NFL obviously has to suspend Myles Garrett. My guess is it goes the entire season, that that's it for Garrett for the next 6 weeks, that he's done for the rest of the season, because I don't think the NFL wants to, A, in a climate surrounding football where they keep saying safety's the priority. We know all about head trauma. We are very sensitive to head trauma. It's a safe sport. We're making the sport safer. I don't think in that climate, with that those talking points, you can go light on this. I think you kind of got to go maybe even heavier than you initially thought. Number two, do they want Myles Garrett playing again in week 16 or week 17 or in a potential playoff game for the Browns? Because then it opens up a whole next can of worms where he comes back and becomes news again and in a really bad way. So I would think the NFL hands down season-long suspension and assesses in the offseason. I wouldn't be surprised today if they make it an 8-game suspension and say he's eligible for appeal in the offseason, meaning that he's done for the next 6 games and perhaps the next 2 of next year, but that they allow him to come back and start the season after a quote-unquote appeal. Wouldn't surprise me.
but I'd be very surprised if he plays again this year. And I think that's the right call. Because, again, how did the NFL, with any credibility, say, we understand concussions, head trauma making the game safer, and then let a guy strike another guy with his helmet as a weapon? Doesn't really make any sense. Now, I will also say this. I think the NFL loses massive credibility this week if they let Demaryius Randle get off just because it happened in the wake of Myles Garrett. Demaryius Randle comes at Steelers wide receiver and clear helmet to helmet, full speed of the game, and the Steelers receiver is left with blood coming out of his ear. The Browns have been incredibly undisciplined the entire season. The Browns have been a penalty machine the entire year. The Browns last night, very obviously, are kind of at a point of frustration in their season. They hate the Steelers. The Steelers hate the Browns. And I think the Browns feel a little empowered because the Steelers aren't as good as they used to be. And so they're kind of down to their level a little bit. We can beat them. We've got this. And we're going to come out and assert our physicality. I think, you know, the Browns have been kicked around for a while. I read a stat today that I still actually don't believe, that this is the first season ever that the Browns have beaten both the Steelers and the Ravens. Mraz, maybe you could get on this. That seems impossible. The Ravens have obviously been around since 96. The Browns came back in 99. That means for 20 years, every year the Browns have been swept by either the Ravens or the Steelers or both. They've never gotten a win in the same season against the Ravens and Steelers. That seems impossible until I guess you consider how bad the Browns have been. So with that as context, a Browns-Steelers game for the Browns carries a lot of emotion. But Demaryius Randle is completely out of line, completely out of control, and needs to be fined harshly. I mean, the NFL needs to smash him with a huge fine for that and not let it skate because it happened in the wake of Myles Garrett. I know Myles Garrett's his own man. I know that Freddie Kitchens didn't grab the helmet and slam it into Mason Rudolph himself. And I know that Freddie Kitchens seemed apologetic to Mike Tomlin on the field after the game. And all of the Browns have spoken out against Myles Garrett. But part of this has got to fall on the head coach. If the Browns were a highly disciplined, organized team that did not beat itself, that did not have a reputation for over-the-top antics, that was not an organization that seemed to be pouring over at the edges every single week, I would say you can't indict anybody besides Myles Garrett there. But this team, week in and week out, plays like the chickens with the head cut off. They play completely undisciplined, completely disorganized, fly by the seat of your pants, and Kitchens is not nipping any of the discipline stuff in the bud. In the offseason, the Browns and Colts get into a preseason fracas. Frank Reich says, we don't accept it. We don't tolerate it. We don't want that to be Colts football. Freddie Kitchens says, I told the guy, stand up for yourself. Garrett is a grown adult. He's a grown man, makes his own decisions. And in the heat of the moment, clearly he's not even making a decision. He is just raging. And I'm certainly not here to try to apply level-headed, even-handed logic when you're in the middle of a football war. I mean, that's unrealistic as well. Those guys have so much testosterone and so much blood coursing through their veins and so much adrenaline and so much rage and anger and everything going on that you can't apply what we see as observers to what they should do in the moment. But look, every player over the last however many years, well, every player certainly most years for a long time realize you can't take off somebody's helmet and use it as a weapon. And Myles Garrett did not realize that and did not catch himself. So he deserves the suspension and he deserves the criticism. But I just think that part of this is an organization that has melted down consistently, and even in a win, can't help themselves. That even in a win, you have Demarius Randle, who could be suspended, but will definitely be fined, and Myles Garrett, who will definitely be suspended. Part of this has to be on the demeanor of the head coach and what he has allowed them to get away with to this point in time. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. Dan's next up. He's in Richmond, listening on 106.1 of CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up, DA? First off, I'm glad Mason Rudolph didn't get hurt, okay? But to suspend this guy going into next season, this, that, and the third, it is ridiculous. Gentlemen, let's not forget, we're talking about people's livelihoods, okay? Talking about how they support their family. For this guy to miss 16 checks, it is absurd.
Okay, so now, hang on right there, because you said Mason Rudolph could have been seriously injured there. Miles Garrett connects in the temple and that's the end of Mason Rudolph's career, imagine the flip side of that.
But imagine the flip side of what
you're saying of we can't take away game checks that many from Myles Garrett. He could have taken away a career on Mason Rudolph.
Correct. Now, and I'm not justifying what he did. And I think you heard him right after the game. I'm embarrassed, you know, took responsibility. Now, Ndamukong Suh was known for things stepping on people's necks, and his third time being suspended was only 6 games, all right? And also, you brought it up in your monologue, okay, about this would never happen with the New England Patriots. That's a great point, DA. Let's go back and look at that Browns-New England game. This has been happening all year to Myles Garrett, all right? 3 times, just in that game alone, his helmet came flying off his head. The only way that happens is illegal hands to the face. And guess how many times the Patriots got penalized for it? Yep, you got it. Not a once. So this has been going on all year. Nobody is talking about how Mason Rudolph was ripping his helmet off from the back. And anyone who's worn a helmet knows that face mask is going right into your Adam's apple. Okay, so how much is a man supposed to? Clearly, referees.
Look, Dan, I think this is a really tough argument for you to make, because what you're saying is essentially Myles Garrett is justified for using the helmet as a weapon and potentially ending a guy's career. I mean, I don't really think that there's any way to really justify it, no matter how many hands to the face he's taken.
I'm not justifying.
Well, you kind of are. You said how much is a man supposed to take?
Correct. Correct.
So that sounds like justification, no?
Well, let me ask you a question. If I was your neighbor, okay, and every day I saw you, I came up to you and smacked you in the face, how many times are you going to let me do that before you punch me back in mine?
Okay, but hang on. What happens if I took out a gun and shot at you and could have killed you? Would that be justified?
No. And let's not say a helmet is a handgun. I mean, that's...
Well, wait a second.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It might not be a handgun, but if that connects in the wrong way, we just agreed that Mason Rudolph's career could be over.
I think that he could have got some stitches. He could have. But and I've seen that happen. Somebody get hit with the helmet on a bare head, and you're going to get some stitches.
Well, the guy was just out for multiple weeks for a concussion. Do you think that maybe you could knock him out and give him another concussion and he's done for the rest of the year?
Yeah, do I think that he thought about that before he was ripping Myles Garrett's helmet off from the back?
Okay, but you're a little bit all over the place, Dan, because you're admitting that it's a dangerous play. You're admitting that, you know, that Myles Garrett's in the wrong, but then you're also saying, but he's justified in doing it, and Mason Rudolph was an instigator.
So, if you, using my analogy as us as neighbors, if you took your briefcase and swung it at me, and I would deserve that. I would deserve that. All I'm saying is everybody with these 16 games suspended, it's ridiculous. Like I said, and Ndamukong Suh was stomping on people's necks.
Okay, all right. That's fair. Ndamukong Suh is an incredibly dirty player, was an incredibly dirty player. But your analogy of if you came over to my house every day and slapped me in the face, Mason Rudolph has not come over to Myles Garrett every week and put his hands in his face. I mean, this is the only game they've played so far this year.
Correct. That's
so,
why you.
So Mason Rudolph is not he's not responsible, like though. Mason Rudolph's not responsible for what the Patriots did a month ago.
Right. Okay. So, again, if every day you walk down the street and everybody you walk by hits you and you get and I you get to me and I do it and you react, I mean.
I got to tell you. It sounds like you might be frustrated that in normal life and society, people can't respond and react anymore. It sounds like you like the idea of an eye for an eye.
What I like is the fact that this rivalry is back. If you go back and look at any of these games when we were relevant, this was par for the course.
Okay, so this is key. When you say we, you're considering yourself like part of the Browns.
Oh, that's a fact.
Okay.
So, I just don't get paid for it yet.
Got it. Okay. All right, so now I think I understand a little bit more about why you're impassionately defending a guy that really can't be defended.
Well, this is his first time, DA. It's not. He doesn't have a history, and that's my point.
Well, all year he's been penalized. All year Myles Garrett's been penalized.
Not for stuff like that.
What? Not for bringing a helmet and swinging it as a weapon?
Not for losing his head. I mean, a holding penalty is not, you know, that's going to go on during the game.
Oh, come on, Dan. You know better than that. Myles Garrett has been a guy that has lost his cool multiple times this year. And, I mean, I hope Dan's joking, but I think Dan considers himself part of the Browns there.
It's only Garrett's first time swinging a helmet at somebody, though. At least it's only the first time.
855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Is anybody else looking around going, DA, why do all of your callers sound like they're defending the indefensible? What is going on here? I don't know. Besides the fact that I think we have an angry society and sometimes angry actions get applauded. When we come back here on the show, more on, of course, last night's crazy, weird, bizarre game and the Browns of the Steelers and where we go from here. But also, I've got my top five college football games of the weekend, my tasty top five. So more of your reaction to Myles Garrett and the Browns and Steelers, and then also my tasty top five next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
24 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. New episode of Nomad is out. Me and Mirage taking the sights and sounds of Minnesota. You betcha. Private tour of Target Field is really cool. And then also experience at a Minnesota Wild game, a state of hockey, experience that. And then also ate a lot of Canadian poutine and something called a puck dog, which was a disc-shaped hot dog at a hockey pub in St. Paul. It's all part of this week's Nomad episode. Find my travel series on YouTube and simply just search my name and Nomad into the search engine on YouTube and you'll find it. Subscribe, won't you? Because then you'll get notifications of new episodes when they're out. Craig tweets, I know Myles Garrett should be punished severely, but everyone is forgetting how Pouncey kicked a Browns player in the head several times at the bottom of the pile. Well, Pouncey started wailing on Myles Garrett, and Pouncey might get suspended as well. My guess is he will be. My guess is he will be punished as well. Because you have punches and kicks thrown. In Pouncey's defense, look, you just saw your quarterback get hit in the head with a helmet from a guy that's out of control that you've been battling with all game long. So I don't expect Marquise Pouncey, also a guy that's known to be a hothead, I don't expect him to handle that well. And Pouncey said after the game, I just lost my mind. I blacked out. So I could kind of get that. Doesn't mean you get off scot-free, but in some ways, I mean, it's kind of understandable that Pouncey just flipped out seeing what he just said or seeing what he just did. Jeremy tweets, why do your callers sound like toddlers today? but he started it. You know, I think that there's an element of this that Mason Rudolph feels like a wimp. He just looks like a kid. He looks young. His helmet is off. He played like dog food the entire night. And I just think he comes off not as maybe tough as Myles Garrett, who's in the trenches. He's battling. And so people just kind of automatically don't like the idea of a wimpy-looking guy who's playing quarterback, who was clearly part of getting Myles Garrett so riled up. I don't think people like the idea of him getting off scot-free. I think people just internally react of, well, Garrett's the guy doing all the battling. Garrett's the big, tough guy. Garrett, you know, flipped because he must have had something said to him, and what, Mason Rudolph just gets off? Which, you know, is not really a logical argument here. I mean, do I think that Mason Rudolph put himself in harm's way? Yeah. I mean, you have no helmet on, and you're still chasing a guy. It's stupid. He would have felt real stupid had he been knocked out and concussed again. But it also, I mean, to defend Myles Garrett today is just taking the wrong train track. I mean, it's just such misguided defense of a guy that, look, even his teammates and his coach are saying there's no defense here. So defending him is just so misguided. Lewis is next up. He's in Los Angeles listening on radio.com. Good morning, Lewis.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it. Hey, man, congratulations again on getting the kidney replacement and finding a donor. Everybody's so thrilled for you here at the show. And even people in management have been coming up to me and thinking about how great that is and saying how great that is. And I know our listeners are as well. So we're really, really happy for you.
Thanks to you, DA, the DA Lien, CBS Sports Radio, for always be having my back. And DA, my kidney donor, Joy, also shares the same birthday as I do. Can you believe that?
Wow, so that's really cool.
Add that to the miracle. So yeah. December 24th, I'll have a new sister, kidney sister, and we'll be sharing our birthday together. So
cool.
I'm going to be so thankful. Next week, I'll be trying to do a call on you know, to check in with you guys right before my surgery. So I'll try and do that next week.
That'd be great.
The thing is, right now I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. People calling up trying to defend this Garrett guy. What is it going to say about ourselves as a new society and the NFL that if this was a child or a defenseless woman, we would have been talking about Carmelo Anthony now, because nobody would have given a rat's behind about this. And the NFL is going to hand down a harsher penalty and a quicker penalty than when dudes have been kicking pregnant women in elevators, than kids getting hit with sticks. It's just an abhorrent look for the NFL now that no matter what they're going to do, this is a bad look for the NFL overall.
Yeah, I don't think they can come down too harsh on this. I agree with you, Lewis. I don't think there's anything that they can do where you go, wow, that was unnecessary. I mean, maybe if they took him out all of a next year, it would feel unnecessary and over the top. But if the NFL is, you know, trying to crack down on, like you said, this domestic violence stuff and a better NFL and a less violent NFL, et cetera, granted, those things happen off the football field. These are things happening on the football field. But the NFL, with the spotlight on it right now, has to do something and do it pretty strongly to send a message. I agree. Want to give you my tasty top five.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
We all love this. Five. We all love this song, grooving to it every single Friday. I'm going to give you a little double number five because number one, LSU travels to Ole Miss, 7 p.m. on ESPN, 7 p.m. kick. And I think they're going to win easily, but what is the emotional come down after doing what they did to Alabama and Tuscaloosa last week? Ole Miss is not good. I don't think LSU wins that. I don't think LSU could possibly lose this game, but let's just see if LSU blows the doors off them or if this is kind of a surprisingly close game because they're emotionally just can't get back up to where they were last week. Number five also. Unranked UCLA traveling to Utah to take on number 7 Utes, 8 p.m. on Fox. Utah must stay with a one loss. They have to stay one loss here. And UCLA has been a surprisingly plucky team in the Pac-12 this year. Don't be surprised if Utah's in a bit of a battle here. I know that Utah's a huge favorite, but UCLA is 4-2 in the Pac-12 this year and has the potential to put up a lot of points. I think against Utah's defense, they're not going to be able to do so. But Utah, the pressure's on them, and Oregon, they absolutely must stay at one loss to have any chance at the playoff.
Number four.
One of the rare ranked matchups this week, and there's only four of them, of two ranked teams, and it's number 23 Navy at number 16 Notre Dame. 2:30 kick on NBC Eastern Time. This is interesting because it's not going to be a sellout, and Notre Dame always sells out. Notre Dame has sold out every game since the 70s, the early 70s, and they will likely not have two sellouts this year. Now, Notre Dame saying, well, we've had three home games the month of November. These are not great opponents, but, you know, Notre Dame not selling out is really crazy. It rarely, if ever, happens. Obviously, it has not happened since the 70s. So a little bit of a lull now amongst the Notre Dame faithful. And for Navy to come in, they're a dangerous team. We know it's hard to defend Navy, and we know that the service academies oftentimes use the Notre Dame game as their game of the season. So watch out for this one. Notre Dame only a 7.5-point favorite in this game, and I think that this could actually be a surprisingly exciting game.
Number three.
Number 10, Oklahoma is traveling to Baylor in Waco to take on number 13, the Baylor Bears. And Baylor's undefeated, and Baylor needs to stay undefeated to have a chance at that college football playoff. I don't think Oklahoma gets in. I just think that their resume after losing to K-State the way that they did and then needing a two-point conversion not to go their way after blowing a 20-point lead, a three-touchdown lead at home against Iowa State last week is just, it's just terrible for your resume. But Baylor has a chance here, and Baylor is the big underdog. Baylor wants that respect. They're 9-0. They're top 15. They're a 10-point underdog to Oklahoma at home. They've got to win this game, and they've got to win this game to remain undefeated and have any hope at the playoff conversation.
Number two.
What happens to Minnesota after the way that they beat Penn State last week? Number eight, Minnesota travels to Iowa City to take on number 20, Iowa. That's a 4 p.m. Eastern kick on Fox. And there's still people that don't believe in the Gophers, and that would kind of blow up in the Gophers' face. We've been demanding respect. We're better than people think. We deserve conversation of the playoff. Then they got to go on the road to Iowa. They still got two tough games in the regular season before the Big Ten championship game at Iowa and against Wisconsin. If Minnesota runs the table here and they go to the Big Ten championship game against, say, Ohio State and win, Minnesota's going to the football playoff. But a loss here against Iowa, they can still go to the Big Ten championship game, but does a one-loss Minnesota team that wins the Big Ten championship have as solid as a resume? Crucial game. Can Minnesota win this game? Again, they're on the road, and Iowa is a slight favorite.
Number one.
Finally, the best game of the weekend is going to be the SEC in the Deep South's oldest rivalry, a game that I've been to the last couple of years in both Georgia and at Auburn. Number four, Georgia takes on number 12, Auburn, on the Plains. 3:30 kick on CBS. Alabama wants chaos. And Alabama needs to beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl. But they need Auburn, probably, to beat Georgia here. And so Auburn holds the key to so much, and Georgia absolutely has to win this game to get into a playoff. A one-loss Georgia team that beats LSU in the SEC title game has an argument. A two-loss Georgia team absolutely does not. This one should be a dandy at Auburn, Jordan-Hare Stadium. Right now, Georgia is a slight favorite on the road, and that those two teams and those two programs, those two fan bases, this is one of the best rivalries we have at the SEC, and then there's a lot on the line tomorrow.
I'm tasty.
That's your Tasty Top 5. When we come back here on the show, we've got Mraz's Up the Gut picks, his NFL picks, which is well over 500. He's making you guys money, so listen in, and his football food of the week. He is guaranteeing a 3-0 picks and an A grading on his football food of the week. Let's see if he's all bluster or if he's got something here. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drip.
Rippey 24/7.
I have no real will towards Damon Amendola.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us on a fine Target Demo Friday. Let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And I'll read through those coming up here an hour from now. Oh, what a day. What a day as the Cleveland Browns had a win that now feels like a loss because you know Myles Garrett is going to be suspended for at least a couple of games here, perhaps the rest of the season, perhaps even longer than that. And here are the Browns fighting for their playoff lives, finally stacking a couple of wins together, back-to-back victories, one over a divisional foe, and yet they're going to be without their best defensive player moving forward for the foreseeable future, and more questions about the discipline and the organization and just a place that is seemingly always springing leaks. And I really feel for Browns fans because they're some of the best fans that we have in sports, and they deserve a winner, and they keep getting handed slop. And even when it feels like it's more than slop, it is a sinking emotional feeling. And I mean, today, if you're a Browns fan, can you be happy? You can't even really, really be happy. The Silver Fox tweets, guys defending Garrett recognize in him like themselves, a man needled, pushed, and badgered to a breaking point. Then the moment he snaps, persecuted for actions that, yes, he is 100% responsible for, but isn't entirely at fault for. Justice would take that into account. Yeah, okay. I can understand some of that, but somehow players in the NFL, 99.9% of the time, are in a physical battle for 3.5 hours every week and do this and have trash talking and taunting and grabbing and holding. And 99.9% of the players don't retaliate with a helmet swung into the exposed head of somebody else. So, I don't know. It feels to me like if everybody else in the NFL can avoid this, if you watched any of the post-game commentary, you have Joe Thomas, who's a former Brown, a former teammate. You have Steve Smith and Michael Irvin, three Hall of Famers, all saying, unacceptable, can't do it, no way you can do it. It seems kind of weird for, like, regular people to go, yeah, I mean, it's understandable. When guys that have played the game go, it's unacceptable. Players in the locker room are going, it's unacceptable. And now we got regular, average, everyday Joes going, yeah, but I've been pushed to my brink before, too, and I mean, come on. Come on. I don't know. Just feels like a weird hill to die on, defending Myles Garrett, but what do I know? Let's get to Mraz's Up the Gut NFL picks.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
All right, Mraz, you are 17-13 on the season. That's four games over 500. You are two wins up on Dave Friedman, Super Dave. After a 2-1 week last week, you feel very confident coming into this week. Let's go to the Saints.
I was going to say, this is put-away week. This is 3-0 week for me, where I put away Dave, I run away and hide, and I wave to him as I go down the sideline.
This is your Dion week.
This is my Dion week. I'm high-stepping here.
Pick six, waving to the Falcon sideline.
Right, and anybody who's gambled on football knows some of those weeks, you just look, and there are games that jump out at you that you drool and can't wait to put pennies on.
Saints looked terrible last week in a loss against the Falcons on the road, or at home, rather. Now they're on the road in Tampa Bay against the Bucs, but the Saints were only a 5-point favorite. Mraz, you love a blowout here.
Yeah, going on the road off a loss. I would feel less comfortable in this game had New Orleans just done what we expected them last week, but this team got a real awakening against Atlanta a week ago. Now they get on the road, they play a team in Tampa that they beat by a touchdown earlier in the year. The Bucks have six losses by an average combined total of 7.5 points per game. There's only a five-point spread here. I have a hard time thinking back-to-back division games, the way the Saints have kind of been a machine leading into last week, that they're going to lay back-to-back duds. I don't see it. I think they absolutely pull away from the Bucks. I think their defense has a couple takeaways from Jameis Winston. All you have to do is win this game by a touchdown to cover the five here. Give me New Orleans laying the five on the road.
Jets get a huge emotional lift after beating the Giants last week. They're on the road against a terrible Washington team. They're circling the wagons inside that locker room for a very popular head coach, Adam Gase. So you love the Jets here. Plus 1.5, an underdog on the road.
So, again, this is one of those spreads that I think Vegas or any legal gambling spot would have you think, hey, something's up here. Let me take Washington laying the points. The fact of the matter is this. Dwayne Haskins looks unprepared to play quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't mean his career is sunk by any means. The Jets feasted and Jamal Adams feasted on Daniel Jones, who actually looks pretty good at quarterback. And this is an offensive line that might be in worse shape than the Giants' offensive line at Washington. I just don't see how they're going to score enough points, Will Washington, and be able to stop Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell from making some plays. I'm not telling you the Jets are going to go out there and look like a crisp 99 Rams team, the greatest show on turf by any means.
Oh, okay.
But this game feels like the Jets win it 19-14, something clunky, something ugly. Jets are going to win the game outright, so I'm getting points. Let me take the Jets here.
For those wondering, Mraz does not expect the 19 Jets to look like the 99 Rams this week.
No, but the point is they're going to win the game.
And finally, Raiders and Bengals. Oakland is at home. The Bengals come west. The Raiders are 8-point favorites. And you think that this is an easy runaway Raider win.
How do I not pick the breakfast bowl, DA, here? A Raider win ensures me, Pete the Body Bellotti, and Andrew Bogus breakfast. Corn dogs, Jackie. Corn dogs. Yeah, look, the Bengals, they've packed up the bats and balls here. Who knows if A.J. Green's going to play? They have no interest in doing anything. They're going to fly to Oakland and somehow muster up some courage to go beat the Raiders, who, by the way, have played pretty good this year. No, I think Derek Carr makes it rain on Cincinnati, and this is easily a 31-10 type of defeat, one that Gruden can hang his hat on. Give me the Raiders laying 8 at home versus Cincy.
I owe the crew breakfast if the Bengals lose 10 games, and they are 0-9 going into this week on the road. Finally, your football food of the week, and you think you'll rebound with a guaranteed A this week.
I'm playing to the crowd. I got a C from Moose and the Up the Gut people at that Instagram account. They weren't fans of my chicken and waffle sliders.
Up the Gut people.
The people. The whole team over there that is handling that account on Instagram. So, look, Moose was one who recommended, and we did it earlier in the year, the wonton cups with the jalapeno poppers.
Yeah.
So I tried something this week. I went back to the well. I got the wonton cups. I wanted to experiment before I put pen to paper here.
Okay.
Loaded mashed potato wonton cups. Mm. Look, if you know how to make mashed potatoes, look up whatever your recipe is, make them. Do the wontons the same way. You want to crisp them a little on their own in the oven in those cupcake trays. When they come out, you want a scoop of mashed potatoes in each cupcake tray on top of the wonton cup. Then sprinkled some cut-up bacon, whether you want to go fresh, pre-cooked, really doesn't matter to me, depends on your timing.
Uh-huh.
If you get chives and want to go real crazy, like you're running an Outback Steakhouse, you go that.
Chives.
And a little shredded cheese. Then you fold over a little bit of the wonton on top, throw it back in the oven, let it crisp up for another 5 to 7 minutes. You're going to get that same wonton flaky crispness we got with the jalapenos, the gooiness of the cheese, the saltiness of the bacon, and that powdery potato perfect mixture. That's a lot of peas.
Uh-huh.
Put it all in your mouth. That's a delicious way to start your Sunday. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Mraz's picks and his recipe for his football food of the week available at CBSSportsRadio.com. Just look for Mraz's Up the Gut column, loaded mashed potato wonton cups.
And we're doing a cold open this year in the Up the Gut DA.
Okay, you should really... I've always said you should really integrate that into the column.
Exactly. We tried it this year.
CBSSportsRadio.com for Mraz's Up the Gut picks. Just to add a little levity to today's show, because it's been so much about violence and Myles Garrett and suspensions, Peter Schwartz did something yesterday that even I did not think he was capable of.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Schwartz... We joke around, we kid, but there's a lot of truth in this. Schwartz has never found anything for free that he didn't love. If it's free, it's P, as in Pete. And Mraz said on Twitter yesterday, tweeted, why would you go stand out for the Fox, in the middle of the street, for the Fox pregame show on Thursday night? And this is something I actually brought up on the air as well when I filled in for Rome last Friday. The poor souls that go out and watch that Fox pregame show before Thursday night football in the middle of cold, rainy, miserable Manhattan at this point of the year, what are they doing? And Mraz said, why you do this? And Schwartz actually retorted. He had a response and said, we're going to go out there because my son wants to meet Terry Bradshaw, which his son's eight. That seems like a huge stretch that he would care about meeting a guy that was a player in the 70s.
I mean, really?
So suddenly, like, your eight-year-old son's a fan of Art Shell? Like, he needs to meet all the stars of the 70s? And said, and there's free pizza. Now, I couldn't really believe this. I couldn't actually believe that somebody's rationale for standing out in the street to watch this pregame show might revolve around a free slice of pizza. Because if you know New York City, there's 99-cent pizza slices on every street corner. And I want to delve into this a little bit more when we come after the break, because I was flabbergasted.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.